1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 tonight. This is God's holy word. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, friends, this morning we saw from Hebrews chapter 11 the relation of faith to things hoped for. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, having the substance now in our experience of what we hope to experience in reality fully in the future. But here in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul now writes, as we've come in our study to the third section of verse 7, Paul writes that love always hopes. So faith is related to hope, hope in the promises of God. The believing heart embraces those promises. We're certain of those promises and the hope that they contain through faith. But here Paul says, love always hopes. Last time, if you recall, the second item in that verse said, love always believes, or love believes all things. It's interesting. Belief is related to faith. It's another word for faith. It seems to be when believing love then is extended, or its focus looks ahead to the future, when it doesn't have the immediate fruition of its faith, it carries on in hope. Love believes all things. When those things are future, love hopes all those things. And we considered hope this morning a little bit. And faith and hope. And I think the relationship between faith and hope is fairly clear and easy to understand. But as we come to this part of God's word tonight, Paul says, love hopes all things that God has promised in his word, but love always hopes. How does love relate to hope? You can see faith, you believe the promises. That makes sense. But how does love always hope? How is love related to hope? Well, I think the key here is the one who is loved. When we think of the one who is loved, we can see the connection between love and hope. First and foremost, of course, as believers, our love is toward God. Our love is toward God. We love him because he first loved us. And he showed us his love preeminently in sending his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sent him as the Lamb of God who suffered and died, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. In 1 Peter 1:21, we read, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. And 1 Timothy 4:10, we have put our hope in the living God, We love God who sent his son. And because he sent his son, our hope is in the living God. We see love and hope connected in that way. And in Christ, God has given us great and precious promises that are all yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Psalm 130 that we sang already, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. We love God. We love his word. And his word is filled with hope. Romans 15:4 tells us that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. God's love to us in Christ fills us with love to God. We love God for his faithfulness to us in Christ. And it's the faithfulness of God which is the basis of our hope. Because God, the God whom we love, the God of Scripture, the true and living God, never fails, never changes. We always have a great hope in which to hope because God is God, the God who loved us and filled our hearts with love toward him. Do you have gospel hope? We thought this morning, we considered people have hopes for all sorts of things. Do you have gospel hope? Paul spoke about hope in Ephesians 2. He said, as he reminded the people of God who they were before the gospel came to them, remember that at that time, and these were Gentiles in particular, but remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Do you know what a person without hope is? They are hopeless. They are hopeless. What a sad word that is. What a dark and destitute, dismal reality to be hopeless. We live in a society of hopelessness. When stock markets crash and people start taking their lives, hopelessness. When young people who live in the most affluent countries in the world choose to take their own lives, when they have everything before them, so that I think it's still the case that teen suicide is the second leading cause of death among teenagers, just behind accidental death. Hopelessness. You know, we shouldn't assume with people. We shouldn't presume what's going on in their hearts. There may be many people. You think, how can someone living in our country and in our day and age be hopeless? Well, there are lots of hopeless people. Start talking to them. You see that they just really don't know why they should go on. Just hopeless. They just kind of tune out their minds. Maybe they just drown it with this pill or that drink or whatever it is, or just immerse themselves in mindless sorts of things, or just put their head down and work. But they're hopeless. Man's hopes, of course, are never certain. Even for the Apostle Paul, we read in Romans 15:24, as he plans to visit the Roman church, he says, I plan to do so when I go to Spain, to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Even the Apostle Paul hoped to go to Spain. Did he make it? No. On that level, the hopes of man are never certain. We hope to do this, we hope to do that. Some of man's hopes are certainly hopeless. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. If your hope is in wealth, it is certainly hopeless. Proverbs 11:4, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers death. Man's hopes, of course, may be misplaced. Even man's religious hopes. You know, you ask people, are you sure that if you die tonight, you'll go to heaven? So many people say yes, they're sure. You begin to ask them a few more questions, and you see that their hopes are misplaced. In John 5:45, Jesus says to the Pharisees, but do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. And what did Jesus mean by that? Moses is another way of saying the law, because the law was given near Moses. What was the hope of the Pharisees? Well, we try to be good people. We try to keep God's law. That's our hope. God will accept us because we're good. And Jesus says, your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. That's a false hope. It's a misplaced hope. We can't have hope to be right with God or to have hope for eternity based on our law-keeping. It's a misplaced hope. And whatever man's hopes may be, apart from Christ, man's hopes are always short-lived. 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If your hopes don't go beyond this life, and it was an argument for the resurrection, but if your hopes are only for this life, those aren't the best kinds of hopes that the Bible holds out for the people of God. We have eternal hope for beyond this life. The hope of the believer, our hope, is a true and a living hope, a hope in all the fullness of resurrection life, both in body and soul. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us the new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the hope that we have, resurrection hope. That beyond this life, in soul, already experienced in the resurrection of the heart, in the new birth, spiritual life, that we have resurrection hope for our bodies. You know, every time I hear different prayer requests, we heard a prayer request just this week from Brian and Lori, and I think, what a thing for her to be going through. But I just think, resurrection hope. Whatever happens, we have resurrection hope, soul now, and body in the last great day. And this is the hope, friends, that we should have for others. Gospel hope, resurrection hope. Beyond all of our hopes for our loved ones, we hope all sorts of things for our loved ones. We hope that they would get well if there's something going on physically with them. We hope they will stay well. We hope they will get a good education. You hope that, don't you, for your children. You hope they will get a good education. People hope that their kids will get a good job and a good spouse and a nice house and all those other hopes. But over and above them all, love hopes, always hopes. But we have to see that what we ought to be hoping for them is a gospel hope, a living hope, resurrection hope. I know you love your loved ones. What do you hope for them? Love always hopes. It's not wrong to hope all those other things. But first and foremost, hope for gospel hope, resurrection hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that we have. Remember, at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away and hopeless have been brought near through the blood of Christ. That's what God has done in Jesus Christ. He's brought sinners who were far away and who would have spent eternity far away in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he's brought them near. If you've been brought near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, then along with that comes hope. Comes gospel hope and resurrection hope. We are called to love others. Love always hopes. Love first and foremost to God, and because he's faithful, we can have a hope. Because he sent his son, there is a hope. But we are called to love others as well. And I know you do. I know there are people that you are praying for day and night. And night and day. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. We're all susceptible to that. You know, we think, oh, I'm going to make a prayer request one week and then I'll get the answer the next week. And weeks, months, years, decades. Love always hopes. And it always hopes because our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. If our focus, the focus of faith, the focus of hope, starts to move away from God, to the degree that it moves away from God, we're going to be more and more susceptible to hopelessness. The more our view goes to someone's circumstances, the more hopelessness can creep in. How are they ever going to overcome that? How can anything good ever come out of this? The more our focus is upon them and what they're saying and what they're doing and how hard their hearts are, the more hopelessness is going to creep in. I know that in my own life. The more I look at my own heart, the more hopeless I can become. These things are real. We need to see them. But that's not where our focus should be, and that's not why we have hope with people. Because our hope is in God. Love always hopes because we know God. We know the living God, the God of sovereign grace, who can do what we cannot do. He is the God who can change someone's heart so that for the one who knows what the living God of sovereign grace can do, the old saying is true. While there is breath, there's hope. Never give up hope for those people that you're praying for. While there's breath, there's hope. Spiro spero in Latin. A little quick saying. While there's breath, there's hope. You know, I was thinking of the case of that thief on the cross. Boys and girls, you know that story. When Jesus was crucified on Golgotha, there were two men crucified on either side. Now, we don't know a lot about them. We don't know about their families. We don't know about their parents or their friends. We don't know what people were thinking about them there as they hung on the cross. Now, we could imagine maybe some people were proud of what they had done. Maybe they had rebelled against the Romans, and that's why the Christian guys said, oh, those are our heroes. But I was thinking, there are these men who lived the lives that they did, who lived by the sword and were dying by the sword. I wondered, had the righteous friends of the thief on the cross given up hope? Well, there's no hope for him now. Maybe they had told him and encouraged him and pled with him and prayed for him many times. Give up your violent ways. The way that you're going is going to lead to death. He wouldn't listen. Had his brothers or his sisters or his mother or father given up hope? Maybe they had. But who knew? Who knew on that day what really happened? Who knew but Christ and that forgiven sinner? Everyone else in the world might have given up hope for that man. But on the cross that day, he said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Love always hopes till the last breath. And we don't know what the Lord will do. We hope for people's deliverance. We hope for their deliverance. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:10, "God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." We hope in the God who delivers people. He delivered Paul from all sorts of things. But the greatest deadly peril is sin and death and hell. He's able to deliver people from that. And so on him we've set our hope that he would deliver. And we mingle our hope with prayer to God as the one who can change people. In Philemon, Paul writes, "Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers." You see that prayers and hopes come together because we pray to the sovereign God that his, not our will, but his will would be done. Our hopes are always to be submitted to the Lord's will. Philippians 2:19, Paul says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon." That's the way all of our hopes have to be tempered and contextual, that it's in the Lord's will. I hope in the Lord Jesus. And you're praying for people that you love. You can pray that way. You say, "Lord, I pray and I hope in the Lord Jesus that you would have mercy on that person." The love of God gives us hope, beloved. The love of God in Christ for his elect is our hope for others. And being filled with gospel love, we continue to live in hope. As believers, we are always to be marked by this loving, living hope. We are to be the most hopeful of people, the most hopeful of men and women and boys and girls. People shouldn't meet us and talk with us and turn away and go, "There's a hopeless so-and-so." They should say, "What hope that person has." In spite of everything that's they see and feel, that they have a hope. Are we marked by that hope? Why not? If not, why not? Why do we get discouraged? Why do we lose hope? Well, unexpected circumstances and trouble, especially suffering and apparent defeat, can discourage us. Luke 24:11, remember that the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, as they're speaking there to the unrecognized, resurrected Lord, what do they say? "We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." Well, what was all this? It was the cross. It was that seeming defeat of Messiah. And because of that suffering and defeat, they had lost hope. But it wasn't defeat. It was victory. They had every reason for hope. But suffering and defeat and discouragement can come. We need to remember that God is at work in all these things. As he was preeminently at work in the cross of Jesus Christ, which looked like defeat, but God turned it into glory and blessing and hope. He can do that with our seeming defeats and discouragements as well. Romans 5:3. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." See, somehow Paul, in gospel logic, has gone from suffering to hope. It's amazing. Only the gospel can do that. Suffering to hope. And then he says in verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love. You see, love always hopes. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And so we live by this hope. We endure by this hope. And we are called to share this hope with others. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. You see what's going on? You're suffering. You live in the same fallen world that other people live in. You're faced with discouragements and trials and temptations. But you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ to a living hope. And you have that hope, and you're living out that hope, and you're enduring in that hope through your sufferings. And someone looks at you and says, how are you doing this? What hope do you have? And you're ready. You're called always to be ready, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's what they're seeing in your life. They're not seeing someone who never has any trouble. They're not seeing anyone that has it all together. They're not seeing someone whose relationships are all perfect. In the midst of suffering and in the midst of sin, in the midst of everything else, they see someone who has hope. That's what they see. And we're to give them the reason for that, and the reason is the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason is his resurrection from the dead and the promises in the Word of God. So you give them the reason for the hope that you have. Well, what may happen when you do? What may happen when you tell someone the hope that you have? Well, all I did, beloved, was I just spent a lot of time just looking at every reference to hope in the Bible, in the New Testament. All these things come out. You tell someone the reason for the hope that you have. What may happen? Hope can be persecuted. Hope can be persecuted. Acts 26:7. It's interesting that Paul's opposition that he faced is almost always related to this theme of hope. This is the promise, Acts 26:7. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Resurrection hope. And it brings persecution. Is the hope that we have in Christ worth it? As we share it to even face this persecution, is the hope greater than the opposition we'll face having it? Well, it is, because we see in the Bible as well the blessings of gospel hope. Acts 24:15, I have the same hope in God, Paul said, as these men, that there will be a resurrection, both of the righteous and the wicked. All those who remain in rebellion against God and who persecute the people of God, there'll be a resurrection of the wicked, but there'll also be a resurrection of the righteous, a recompense and a reward. But there's also blessing in this life. This is the amazing thing, and this is what Hebrews 11:1 is getting at, that hope, we're certain it's the substance of things hoped for. There's not just the subjective, we're sure about it. There's also the objective substance to it in our present experience. We have this hope of the resurrection and of eternal blessing and glory. But it then comes to us today. It comes to us in our lives in the present, the substance of things hoped for. And so we see the blessing of hope in this life. We see the blessing of hope for the lonely. I was speaking to a man this week. And that was, he showed me his journal. He pulled a binder out of his desk. was filled with all sorts of pages. It was his journal. And he just started reading. He read it to me for about an hour. How the Lord has been dealing with him and the scriptures that he's been reading to try. But so many of the things that he was dealing with seemed to be about loneliness. Loneliness. There's so many lonely people. But hope is a great help for the lonely. 1 Timothy 5:5. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. You know someone that's lonely? Tell them about the hope that there is in God. There's a hope that we have that helps us to counteract the pressure that we have in society. It's fascinating. 1 Peter 3:5. For in this way, it's talking about women and their adornment, and whether that's external and internal. But it says in verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. This is so practical. Here is an issue of girls and ladies and women and their beauty or their attractiveness in the world, and it's related to hope in God. This is how the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their husbands. You see, when you have hope in God, when you have hope in His promises and His love for you, then you're going to be someone who's not afraid to go against cultural pressures and societal dictates. God will take care of you. You don't have to be a young woman who says, well, the world says, I have to dress like this and I have to act like this if I'm ever going to get a husband or if I'm ever going to... This is not how the holy women of old who put their hope in God made themselves beautiful. See, their hope was in God. Their hope wasn't in cosmetics, right? It was in God. They were submissive to their own husbands. You know, so many wives say, well, how can I do that? How can I be submissive to my husband? What will happen to me? Won't I just get walked all over? Well, your hope's not in your husband. Your hope's in God. Because your hope is in God. You can follow His word and see the blessing in it. Amazing. We hope in His promises. We looked at this in the youth group this week. Considered this morning. Your hope is in His promises. He will work all things for good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after all these things. Your Father knows you need them. I will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. John 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So you don't have to worry because you have hope in the word and promises of God. Well, what kind of effect, what effect will that kind of blessed hope have in your life? Romans 8:25, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. There are present blessings you'll experience, but here you will wait for it patiently. Patient endurance is one of the fruits of hope. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope. If you have hope, real hope, gospel hope, it should bring joy. If you're a hopeful person because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, God says, you should be a joyful person. If we're not joyful, something's wrong with hope. The way that we're understanding that or believing that or living that out. And if we have the hope of Christ, then we're joyful. It should also give us a desire for sanctification and purity. Dear friends, we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You have the God in Christ, the love of God that gives you this hope, then you'll be patient in your endurance. You'll be joyful. You'll seek to live a holy life and to be more and more like Christ. This is what the love of God has given us in Jesus Christ. Do you see now why love always hopes? Love always hopes. Paul had this prayer for the church in Rome. And it's a prayer I hope that we all would want to be prayed over us and over our loved ones. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.